So that we can walk into our calling, we can walk into our destiny. And he tries to humiliate us and separate us and isolate us. You know, some stuff was going on in my heart yesterday. And it was great. It was the grace of God that covered me yesterday. It was truly the grace. And it was the prayers of the saints that covered me yesterday. That's what it was. It was y'all's prayers. The men and women's prayers of this house that covered me yesterday. I was going to go do some stupid stuff yesterday. Some dumb stuff that would have had me trapped and confused. But when you started praying for me, David, you said, your freedom's here. Your deliverance is here today. Your deliverance is here today. Your deliverance is here today. Come on, man. Y'all got to believe it. You got to believe it. And it's just the love of God. It's the love of God. It's the love of God that draws men to repentance. It's his love, his compassion for you, his zeal. God has a zealous heart. Pastor's been praying this week, well, this past couple of weeks, she's been saying that his banner of love, that's in Zephaniah 3:17, his banner of love is over us. His banner, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God Almighty, the Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, first it is to come, that man, that banner of love is over us. I'm going to stop talking.
Actually, I'm going to check. Looking at my close mind, but one of them, when my God, on a Friday, I had to go and minister over at first to Louisville. Is that Friday? Thursday. I had to minister. Thank you.
so far apart from God. And God is still coming back to you. I can't forget. One of my aunts was a part of the church, a part of the school. At first, because she got ill at chapel. And when she came back, she called me and she was like, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. But when she said that, I sat with her in her house and lived like down here somewhere. I sat with her at her house and she was playing on the back of the school. I turned and I left there and I was driving right down this street. And I got up by the railroad track and I was going off the railroad track and the Holy Spirit said, one by one, can you tell me? You got me to feel my entire youth group with the kids. They know that you got me. And I'm an unusual, unusual kid. This week I have been saying, everywhere we look this year, like even on Facebook, I know some of you are fast on Facebook. But on Facebook, everything is about the heart. It's about the heart. About God. God wants to deal with our hearts. He wants us to come in contact with Him in a very real place. And one thing that the Lord taught me is that if you be real with me, I'll be real with you. That we don't have to, we don't have to hide. We can be honest about our fears and our insecurities and our weaknesses. We can tell God where we're broken, right? And He'll just step right in again and just make all things new. I was a little intimidated, dog. Not because of the people or not to be a dog, you know, or anything like that. But as if by chance, you go to chapel as a whole other animal, right, Liz? So I go in there, know it all in there. Nobody that I recognize. They don't know me and I don't know them. And I'm looking around at people that were children then. That's why I just love y'all so much. Oh my God. The children that I did know, they're like adults teaching. Listen, this was so weird. I started ministering from about like, about really about different hearts and how we get broken and what it's going and how people are responding and we don't even know why we're responding the way we're responding because somebody did some crazy to us back in 1808 because nobody even remembers and how God wants to go and wants to retrieve it and how we have to repent for what we did to mess up each other's hearts. For what we did. It's not all that other stuff. It's so simple. It's just about the love of God. He's loving us and us loving Him. It's not about everything else that we've created. Holy Ghost. Okay. And so I look up. I'm getting ready to make my point. And I look up right back there. Is a monster. He's standing on that wall. I called him up and I said, you're going to make my point today. We just started talking about how the Lord brings us one place to another, how people will see you in one place. God has called us to make a point. And Lance, the man of Juliet, grab hold of her life and just simply make us just a mess. I'm not going to tell like the movie that reflects the God. God, I really shan't just do this part. Because it comes right into what you're saying. It's just one little part that you should go and see. You should take your family. Yes, it is fictional. And yes, we are Christians. And yes, we go on the name of Jesus. But you got to see the beauty of what God does because our lives are beautiful, man. And when we're up close to our whole life, we want to drink Jesus. It does look a mess. It looks wild and insane, and it looks like it can never ever be. It looks like it can never be healed, it can never be set free. It looks
Keep on standing. Somebody shout, stand! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Back. See, the problem, you say, well, I see people go back. because they never came. When you really come to this thing, he'll wash it away. Glory God, and you'll be trying to find your way back to your hell, and it will be gone. And all you have to do, you're tired, you go, huh? Well, just keep on walking, keep on serving, keep on loving, keep on. You know, Pastor, I struggle with stuff he deals today. No, but what I'm saying is he just takes the roadmap and he destroys it. Now, you can create some new mess if you want to. Man, your stuff was crazy. If you've ever been out there by yourself and you tasted the goodness of the Lord, why in the world would you want to return to that? No matter how hard it is. Today, when you take communion, has everyone been served? Everyone been served? I ask that you come. The day this is, would you come? Would you come? Would you come?
Father God, that we have done, that we have chosen to do, Father God, his body was sacrificed and was bruised and beaten for us so that we in turn
need to partake in the cup.
Just stand. Hallelujah. 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 Ha. Ha.
Glory to God. 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 Whatever the house is, this sin, more intimacy between us and God. Hallelujah.
God is strategic too. Hallelujah, Lord God. We worship you, oh God. You can go ahead and pull the lights up. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise offering. You can put something on or prepare yourself for tithes and offerings. And that voice that you will hear as we give tithes and offering will be passed. Amen.
So I guess I'm the voice now. Could you raise your tithes offers and repeat after me? Father, I believe that you have a financial plan for tithes and offerings. By faith, we bring our tithe to the house. You promise to rebuke the devourer, to open the windows of heaven, to pour out a blessing.
Father God, we give you praise, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for all these tithes, Lord God. We appreciate, Lord God, everything that has been given this morning, Lord God. I release your blessing, Lord God, upon this house and upon this people, Lord God. I release it in the name of your Son.
So today is Sharita's birthday. I don't know where she is. You can come up here and get this for me, please. It's just somebody trying to do this. Glory to God. We were just right in the middle of that. Can we all sing happy birthday to Sharita right quick? Oh, that was horrible. Was that a takeoff? Happy. Ready? Happy birthday. I can get a piece. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. The Lord has everybody in sleep. The toughest message to send it's just for him. So, if all the ladies, so sitting there, you got to get up and not paying attention to them and, you know, keep them and sit back down because this is an important message, really, that God's saying. And so I'm going to just have a seat and talking as well. But the message this morning, really, I was asked for a title, and it's time to man up. We men need to man up. We haven't. And so I've just got some different notes and different things. That first off, I'm going to say to the guys, this is a disclaimer. Don't take it up with me. Don't take it up with Pastor Regina. Don't take it up with Father's House Church. Those listening, don't write into us with complaints, because this is a message from God. You know, if I could pass this message on to somebody else to preach, but I know he's placed on my heart to minister. And it's funny that we've been talking about it. It's a heart issue. It is a heart issue with the men. We got to stop playing games. We're playing the Christian game, but not walking the walk. We're talking the talk, but we're not walking the walk. So I just want to, I'm going to talk with you guys, talk with the men, ladies as well, because what I'm going to be sharing is the man should have. Some of the things in here that I'm going to be sharing on the negative side, you don't want that kind of man. They need to step up. It's time for them to step up. The world needs the men to step up, the men of God to step up in this place. It's that time. I'd love to be able to be singing a Sunday morning and be ministering to the men. You know, we have an average of 4 guys show up for his breakfast whenever we men. Where we step up, guys, and it's not me, but men within the church, and we've had guest speakers come in to minister. White, tall, skinny, rich, poor, it didn't matter. We still have an average of 4 guys outside of the ministry. We're not step up and do our thing. The word says how good it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Okay, I have a question. I'm going to ask a couple of guys here a question. Okay. Brother Joe, in the last years, how many men have dialed you up with a specific need that they needed your counsel for? Okay, the last 2 years. Abe, how about you? Would you say it's been about you? And same with me. I would say under six. Men must have it all together to be good. Because we're averaging, with the number of men in this church, we're averaging, that's one call per person per year. That's what we're averaging. That's not much. That's pretty good. But I know for us, we do not have it pretty good in here. None of us have it pretty good in here for the guys. We're struggling, and we're doing it on our own. We're doing it on our own. We think we don't need anybody. We think, you know, really, truly think that if you were to call Brother Abe, Brother Joe, myself, you know what we would say. Brother Greg, probably one of the first things, are you tithing? Brother Joe, are you walking in integrity? Brother Abe would say, what are you playing around with? What are you dabbling in? We would get to the because I mean it's smart. We're playing these games. We don't need to be playing these games anymore. Coming up, coming together. Right now, 2 weeks now, we've been 5 a.m. We've been every morning. From Monday through Friday, 5 a.m., we're getting up and praying, sacrificing flesh to pray. We've had an average of seven guys. An average of seven guys come to the prayer. You know what? You want a relationship with a godly woman? You got to have a relationship with a godly God. That relationship there, don't be playing because you know what? A lot of women's going to put up with it. They're going to say, talk to the hand. First, that prayer. We need to be getting together and pray. If you call the Lord, we are going to be doing that. They're having up with listening. The communication gap. They're getting in a room. They're getting in a room. We're going to getting counsel from that. Some guys even are lifting up prayer requests in there, being humble, pulling themselves and saying, I'm not difficult to pray for me. So we're pulling together. It's very important. We're actually getting together with the women, with women as well. Whole church body. Unity is extremely important. Extremely important. Sitting in a home, and yet kids are orphaned. So why? Because they need to. They're watching TV. They're playing video games. They're on social media. They're doing extra sports, going out and golf, or baseball. But they're neglecting their families. Pornography. They're not up all night and checking out porn when everyone else is sleeping. And they're dragging themselves out, so then they're too tired to have any impact on their family. Balance, and I'm not talking about porn. But everything else is about it. Balance. I lived that situation. With the time, we had three kids. One was five. And I had to work. I even had to work time on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But the way I found it out is that I would go ahead and get home all the time. I'd spend the time there waiting until they got to bed, until she went to bed. I did the work before. On Saturdays, I would go up, take the kids, the three kids, and we'd go to the hardware store, get the free coffee and donuts offering. And I would go sleep in. I didn't need to buy anything. It was just something so she could have peace and quiet. And the rest of the day, Saturday and Sunday, was with church. We had Wednesday night church. We had Sunday night church as well. And what do you choose? Choose this day who you
You have a choice of whether you're going to answer those or not. The choice is yours. And I'm just going to qualify myself for a quick 5 seconds, just so you know, oh, here's this guy, Pastor Dan up here. It looks like he has it all together. He must have had a silver spoon in his mouth. Not so. I was born, my mom and dad were both having extramarital affairs, and I was born to my mom from an affair that she was having. At the age of four, they divorced. Was raised by my sister for a couple of years until my mom met another guy, and we ended up moving in with him. He was verbally abusive. At the age of 10, I ended up, and if I needed any money or wanted any money, I basically had to earn it. So she wasn't paying me allowance. She didn't have any allowance to get. So basically, I had to go and start the paper route with delivering papers. I'm going to school. I'm 17 years old going to school, getting a free lunch program. You know how embarrassing that is? And it's just saying, we all think back then, it's more common today, but back then, you were majorly frowned upon if you were giving your name instead of giving them money. At the age of 14, I'm working in a bar. My mom's a waitress. I'm working in the bar, doing dishes and emptying bottles at night. There's pornography showing up on the TVs in the bar. So when I'm coming out with the dishes, there it is, wearing my face. Both my dad and my stepdad were hungover on pornography. They had cereals on the ceiling in the bedroom and plastered all over the bathroom. Working in the kitchen and doing that. Then from there, I ended up joining the military. Really, I joined the military to get out of home, to be honest with you. Joined the military, was in the military for 5 years. When I got out of the military, I needed a job. Took a job as a receptionist. Come on, my name is Vietnam. Wasn't like that. Took a job as a receptionist. Matt passed the window in a life club. We were Christians at the time. She asked me to dance. In the middle of drinking alcohol, heard me. Gave me a number the first night. That is definitely true. Went to school at night, like I already said. At the age of 28, they re-accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Worked very hard. 52 years old, 28. So 24 years, worked very, very hard. Was a man of my word, man of integrity, hard worker. What I said is what I did. How I was at home was how I was in the workplace and in public. Served God. We ended up getting into debt and had kidney failure. You guys already know all of that story. But now we're blessed. God has shown himself faithful. He's taken us through difficult times. He's shown us faithful. I'm a vice president of my team. I don't have a college degree. I never finished college. So just qualifying myself there as I'm talking about these things. I had choices all through that time. I could have been one of those statistical numbers. I could have gotten addicted to porn. Three of my siblings, half siblings, all have lost their marriages either through physical unfaithfulness of their spouse or pornography. We know of a man that he had it all: beautiful wife, great kids, great job, great house, even a boat on the lake, and everything. Because of pornography, because he was addicted to pornography, it just spiraled and went into a deeper thing. He ended up. He didn't want to use his own personal credit card, so he used the company credit card. Next thing you know, he found he had been embezzled money, ends up going to prison. But before he went to prison, he needed another
money. They froze all his assets. So he had nothing. Kids and wives. He needed opportunities. And everybody.
While he's looking for that, I'm just going to talk to you about. So I'm going to get in a little bit of a subject matter here, and for kids or whatever, we can use another word. Hopefully it's okay to say sex. Okay, all right, good. So we all probably know what solo sex is. There's something wrong with that too, people. I've actually was doing a little bit of a study and reading out when I was working with some of the guys to do Covenant of Your Eyes, great book for men, by the way, Covenant with Your Eyes. And literally, solo sex will end up producing chemicals in your body, and endorphins in your body, that your body will become addicted to them, that you're going to need more and more stimulant. So if you're over there having solo sex, you're ultimately creating a deficiency and addiction in your body that will spiral. It's a guarantee it will end up spiraling. So that's guys, that's girls, it doesn't matter.
What are you doing? You're staying up in the middle of the night again because you don't really want to know, but you don't want your mom to know. So now you're not getting any rest, and now you're further deteriorating your body. And the word is real clear in 1 Corinthians 7:4.
Where it says your body's not your own. For when it says it's the man's.
For when it says it's the woman's. And it's talking about marital there. Save yourself from yourself. So you have no right to have solo sex, not to mention the consequences for the actions of doing so. It's a spiral effect.
Let's talk about sex
before marriage. Disease, consequence of your actions. The end of the disease is AIDS, we'll say. Now you've got to declare every time you have that disease. So who's going to want to have sex with them when you have that disease? And it's impacting health, both the children. So let's just say you don't care. You don't get a disease. Let's talk about that you get a woman pregnant. How many women in here right now, either their husband does not want to come to church, or they don't have a husband to get their kids? I don't need your hands raised, but we have done a disservice. We met a woman can't get pregnant without a man. It takes a man. We are the ones that can say no. We should be the ones to say no. We're more influential. They want an intimate relationship. And if they make sense, then if I give them some sex, maybe I can have that intimate relationship with them. That is really not the one thing.
We don't want that relationship.
Look at all what the Bible is telling us. We clearly don't want that relationship. We haven't stepped up. So now there's a child that's born. And now, you know, man, it was fun over there, but I don't want to marry. I don't want to be with that woman. I like this woman over here. I'm fine with her. Let me hang out with her. She's like, you got a kid? You got, the time of my heart has a mom to that kid? I don't think I want to be a part of that. The pizza or whatever, I don't want to be a part of that. So then you got that. Oh, what's worse? What if she decides she wants to get an abortion after you got in pregnant? You have no say. The man has no say to say they're taking an abortion. Now a child is no longer living. Not to mention the financial situation in there.
Of a child, for years and years and years,
you're supporting the child. And you don't get to raise the child. So that every time the child gets to move to your place, they're just unruly. Because, and I'm telling you, these things, I'm talking about people that I know that have had these things happen to them. They say when the child comes, there's nothing I can do because they're spending most of the time at the mom. They get programmed in one way. They come to me and I'm trying to help them. There's consequences for your actions. So, are you reading Numbers 14:18? Okay. You get there? The Lord is self. The Lord is no effect of that, abundant in mercy, forgiven iniquity and transgression. But he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the father and the children to the third and fourth generation. What we do, man, the sins of us pass down to the third and fourth generation. We're all a byproduct of it. I'm a byproduct of it.
Could have fallen to it. continue on with my kids, but I didn't know. No, the line is drawn even.
And it's going to be different. I'm going to make it different. 26 years we've been married. Because you know what, I'm just going through emotions. It's more about an act than
Lest in nothing but with pride he fall into condemnation of the devil.
at home and you're being harsh to your wife, you're being harsh to your kids, you're just doing things, you're being neglectful of your family. How do you expect to be in leadership within a church? How do you expect other men? I tell you, they're all watching. Everybody's watching everybody. They're all seeing. Your friend doesn't know that your kids repeat something you said maybe they were the driver. It's happening, and in the church, it's the same thing. The younger men are looking at the older men. How old are you living? And you that have just started to be Christians, there's still guys looking at you as well. And it's saying if you can't take care of your own house, how can you help out? And what you're doing is you're putting yourself in the church. You know what? Don't be talking to that lady at work. Don't be texting that person. You know, get on Facebook and, you know, be real about Facebook. You know why I'm not on Facebook anymore? There's so many promiscuous pictures out there, it's ridiculous. I'm sitting there constantly saying, delete, delete, delete. Yeah, that's my relatives. That's my own family members. How about Office 90 that's putting pictures out there on our own page? I'm just tired of it. I mean, the only thing I have is email. That's all that I have is email. I don't have Snapchat. I don't have, you know, any of those other medias. Because, you know what? This church is just something that came through on a lot of, what was it called? On Instagram, that somebody was basically selling themselves on Instagram. They decided to start the follow. Selling sex, basically. Sharing more information. It's out there on purpose. Don't kid yourself that you're on there trying to stay in touch with family. There's other ways to stay in family. You know what? I can talk to my family whenever I want. You're going on there, guys, and you're trying to find who's got the mysterious pictures, and they're out there. You can find them if you want to find them. Don't kid yourself. You're dancing with the devil there. You're dancing with the devil. It's a choice. You have a choice. It's staying right there. Stay up on reproach. Stay in the Word. Meditate on the Word. Get in prayer. Call the brother. What is the name of 1 Timothy 4, 12 through 16, please? Amen. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbyter. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy prophet may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So if you focus on the Word and you allow the gift that we're given, what was the first gift that we're given? We're given the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's strong. Greater is He that's in me than He that's in the world. If we just give over to the Holy Spirit and listen to the Holy Spirit, run when we're supposed to run, turn when we're supposed to turn. Brother Joe, all 10 days that he said on the prayer, what prayer in your team he's going to say? Help me to only say what I'm supposed to say and do what I'm supposed to do. If we just pray that out every day, just do those things, we'll be above reproach on those things. And we will be blessed for it. It's where we're simple. It's not rocket science. It really isn't. For us to be able to be men of integrity, men of our word, men of honor, men of the guard's own heart. Something that I was talking about this. And she said, she said, let's cut the generational snake head off. Today we have a day. Today is a new day. Any of you men, let me just say it to the ladies. You want to come up and you want to stand in the gap for a man, you can. But any man that wants you, I'm not saying because you stand up here, maybe I already know it's going to your head. I'm not going up there. They're going to be taking eyes on all kinds of stuff. And it might be just, you know what, you're not using your words. Now, that's the other thing I'm going to say, but hey, when you're such a digging ass, you're reading your words. Are you reading your words? You can't even possibly get to know God if you don't spend time with Him. So we have a choice today to cut off that generational curse, the sins of the father. Your dad has been a great dad, but you know what? What about his dad? Or his dad? If nobody broke off the generational curse, it can skip a generation from when we're going to be attacking you. We have an opportunity right now to get the axe and cut off that generational curse, the snake's head. So Brother Michael's going to play. Lord, I give you my heart. It was kind of funny. They were playing that earlier. It was just something that the Lord put onto me. And after that accident, with, you know, Brother Joe, Brother Greg, Brother Abe, come on up as well. And we're just going to pray with any of you that come up that one family. And you may just be saying, you know what? I haven't been the guy that I wanted to be. I haven't been the man of integrity, the man of honor, the man of his word. I haven't spent the time in the word that I wanted to. It could be you're dealing with some addictions. It could be that you're struggling. You haven't given in yet, but it's been a battle. It's been a tough battle. And I just need somebody to stand with me. It can be that you just haven't been living a life at all. You've been living the flesh. So I'm just saying, come up if you want to be prayed for. Again, women, if you have a husband or a brother that, you know, even if you want to come up today, one thing that my wife and I have been praying for, we've been praying for our 2 younger sons' wives, that they will be godly women.